beginning in verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of the Lord. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? I'm going to light our Advent candle. If those of you who are observant, the pink candle is not lit this week. This is the candle of love. Last week I lit it and I was wrong. I get used to saying that quite a bit, just to be real honest with you. And so last week we lit the joy candle. And this week we're going to light a candle, the peace candle. And so with that, I want to light this and remind you that this candle is just a symbol for us to think, to remember a time where we think about the peace of Christ as he reigns. And our prayer is that if he doesn't reign in your life, that he will soon, maybe even today. Won't you pray with me? Father, we thank you so much for the Prince of Peace. And today, as we think, as we remember, as we look at your word, Father, I pray that you would speak to us, Father, that in the midst of the chaotic times that we live in, that we would be reminded, that we'd be reminded that you are the King of Peace, and you sent the Prince of Peace so that we might have a heart of peace. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. You know, sometimes it's hard to remember that as your pastor, I was once a child, and I did watch a lot of cartoons. There are some folks in here who are around my age. Maybe you'll remember. I don't even know if this cartoon's still on. I used to watch one of my favorite ones Saturday morning was Bugs Bunny. Loved Bugs. Oh, thank you. Oh, wow, wow. Got a whoop-whoop back there. All right. Bugs Bunny. I don't even know if he's still around or not, but I watched Bugs Bunny. And some of my most favorite ones were Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd. Anybody remember Elmer Fudd? He never could catch that Waskily Wabbit, could he? They were always at tension. I enjoyed watching the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote. Yeah, there you go, yeah. And they were always at each other, never could get it worked out, get it fixed. You know, there is something about good stories. They always have an antagonist and a protagonist. They have someone that is going to stir up the pot. Or do you have somebody in your family or in your work that they're just really good at stirring the pot? They keep the tension happening. Why are the wives poking their husbands all of a sudden? They keep the tension happening. You know, today, reality TV. I remember back in, this is no joke, I'm being serious about this, back in the late 80s, the early 90s, there was a book talking, it was called Generations, and it was talking about the generations that were coming. It was kind of like, this is what we see is going to be happening. And I remember in that book, it talking about one day, all that you're going to see on television, or what they didn't define it as reality TV, but that's what they were talking about. They were talking about that cameras would just follow people and you would be entertained by that. I remember thinking, you got to be kidding me. I'm thinking about my own life. My life is boring. Who wants to watch my life? Some of you are going, have you seen my life? I mean, I'm a reality show. The reality TV shows are all built around tension. Any good movie is around tension. And so whether or not there's tension, the producer then goes in and tries to stir up a few things. And they try to create this where there's no peace. And, you know, the weird thing is that we enjoy that. We end up watching that for our entertainment, and we begin to see whether it is a Netflix show, whether it's something on the big screen, whether it's a cartoon. You know, I've told Amy before, there are certain movies I just don't want to see because I counsel people who are walking through those, and it's not entertaining to me. It's really sad. We live in a world today where there is... And for some of you, your tension may be going up right now, but because we're that we're talking about peace today, the Prince of Peace, but I want to say to you, our world is not peaceful. On Friday morning, I sat down and did as I normally do, and I began to go through the news. I'm a news junkie. I like to read the news. So I'll look at all these different sites. I'll try to look at different news organizations. You know, you got to look at a lot of them today to get to the truth, figure out what is true. But in the course of this, I want to read you real quick some of the headlines. These were on all the different sites. Here's some of the headlines. Michigan school shooter sentenced. Israel-Hamas war at all-time high. Infants found dead and decomposing. Russia launches long-range missiles to Ukraine. College professor shoots UNLV students. Our world is not peaceful. Our world is not peaceful. Some of you may be sitting there going, you know what? I don't have medical bills. I don't have medical situations. And in fact, my biggest situation right now is the chaos trying to manage my party schedules that I've got, all the different things that are happening, and you're feeling this tension. The days are running low, and it's even that is creating this sense of no peace, chaos, upset in your life. We are facing an epidemic where there is chaos and no peace in our land and in our world. And every time that happens, whether it is in any kind of history, whether it's biblical history, it is the history of the United States, the history of the world, we always turn and we look for someone, man, woman, someone who's going to be able to step into the disorder, the chaos, and try to bring order, and hopefully they're going to bring peace. We do that. Listen, we've been doing that now with our elections, and we've been placing our faith in people, and that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Any time we try to place our faith in people, we're going to be let down. Some of you in here, husbands and wives, you've been trying to find all of your peace, your happiness, your fulfillment in a spouse, or you think one day I'm going to get someone and they're going to complete me. I need you to hear me. True peace is never found in a person. This afternoon, you're going to go home. Some of you, you're a football person. You're going to turn on the games. You're going to begin watching them, and you're going to see have you noticed the little stickers that are on helmets or that are lining the fields? End racism, stop hate, love wins all. These are great things, and we should hope for that kind of thing, but I want you to hear where true joy, where true peace, where true hope, where true love is found, is only in Jesus Christ. And when we try to find all these things outside of their true source, we're drinking from broken cisterns, the Bible says. We're drinking water that is polluted and tainted, and it doesn't bring life. It brings death. And so today, in the midst of our series, Behold, last week we talked about joy, and we talked about how we need to behold joy, where true joy comes from. And some of you walked away thinking, yeah, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can really be joyful. Well, I want you to know, I think one of the reasons we're not able to be truly joyful, and I don't just mean like paste a smile on. Everything's great. I'm talking about like being happy, being joyful, even in the midst of the circumstances. One of the reasons we're not able to do that is because we've not found true peace, where true peace comes from. And so today I want us to talk about we're walking and remembering the peace candle. That's not just a candle of peace. That candle represents the Prince of Peace. And so today I want us to talk about where do we find true peace and how do we do that? Well, there's three statements that if you're taking notes, I hope that you do, write these down. The first one that I want us to look at is beholding Christ's government. Beholding Christ's government. Now, when I speak about beholding Christ's government, I'm talking about the reign of Christ in your life. Now, into Isaiah 9 that I read just a minute ago, Isaiah was written somewhere 100 to 200 years prior to Daniel. You remember we just came out of Daniel. Daniel talking about the exile of the nation of Israel in Babylon. This was written somewhere around 200 years prior, and he forewarns the nation. He is a prophet. He says, hey, listen, the Assyrians are going to come. They're coming. Those who are from the great river, they're going to come. They're going to besiege this land. They're going to be, if you look at the beginning of chapter 9, he talks about the land of Naphtali, the land of Zebulun. That is the Galilee area. They're going to come. They're going to take over. It's going to be a dark, it's going to be a bad time. But in verse 6, look what he says in verse 6. He says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Listen, when things get bad, we start looking for someone who's going to fix things. Isaiah is writing, and he's saying, listen, things are about to get bad. He is forewarning them that this Assyrians from beyond the great river, they're going to come and they're going to lay siege. And you're going to be looking for a savior. You're going to be looking for a strong man, some leader who's going to come in, who's going to kick off the bonds, who's going to break the bonds. That's what you're going to be looking for. But Isaiah, prophesying the words of the Lord, says this. He's going to say the savior, but it's not going to be a man, it's going to be a child. Did you notice that? Look what it says. He says, there's going to be a child is going to be born. A son is going to be given. Listen, he's not just coming, this one who is coming. And this is one of the unique things about prophecy. Prophecy speaks to what is coming, and then it speaks to what will come. Further down, he's telling them, listen, the Assyrians are going to come, and you can count that's going to happen. And it did happen somewhere between 100 and 200 years later. But you need to know, I'm not just going to send you a savior to break the bonds of your exile period. I'm going to send a savior to give you your greatest need so that you might have redemption, so that you might be reconciled to God and have a right relationship to him. Look at Isaiah 9. Look at verse 7 again. Go back over there to verse 7 and see what he says. He says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom. I'm going to stop right there, and you can leave that verse on the screen. Now, listen, God had promised David that there will always be a son. He'll always have a son on the throne. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. We've gone into exile. There's no more kingdom. He's prophesying that there is going to be one who is from the line of David who will be in his government. His reign will be forever. Notice he says, to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. How long, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. How long will the reign of this Prince of Peace, the one who is to come, last? Forever. Do you realize that today, our king, our Prince of Peace, the one who rightfully sits on the throne of David, the throne, the one that was foretold, do you realize that he isn't ruling and reigning today? Because the scripture tells us he is ruling forevermore from this time forward. Listen, true peace will only come. Now, I want to make sure you hear me in this, all right? I want everybody listening to this. True peace in your life and in this world will only come when we bow our knee to Christ. We have a tendency as a people. Technology is advancing and advancing and advancing, whether it is technology through medical, through society, technology. You know, technology is supposed to bring us together, and there's more divisions in our world today than ever before. Because what we do so often, I want to speak to you as believers and as non-believers on this right here. What we end up doing so often is that we're looking for external peace. And will it come from here? Will it be this person? Will this thing? Is this going to bring me pleasure? Will this make life more peaceful? And I want to be really clear. There will be no external peace if there's not internal peace? In fact, I want to take it a step further. Do you realize that until Christ returns, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars? There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be floods. God's promised he'll never flood the earth in judgment like he did with Noah, but there's going to be tornadoes that happen. Buildings are going to be ripped apart. Homes are going to be fractured because of sin. And we're looking, what's going to fix this? There's no peace. But I can tell you that in the midst of what you're walking in today, whether it is great tragedy, whether it is great heartache, or whether it's just, man, I can't get my calendar to balance, and it's causing all kinds of stress and chaos in your life. If you don't have peace, inner peace, because of Jesus Christ, the true Prince of Peace, the outside's going to just continue to swirl, and your insides are going to be a mess. It's going to happen. But in the midst of having internal peace with Jesus, recognizing that he has come so that we can have peace with God. And listen, let me go on over there. Let's look for just a moment. I want you to see a couple of these. Notice what kind of king. He prophesied that a king was going to come. Look at the names that he calls these in verse 6. I want you to go back up there to verse 6. I want you to see this. He says that there's going to be, and when I was a child, I thought these were all separate. I thought it was Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty, God. But, you know, as I got older and like I began to really study the word, you begin to see that, no, there's a Wonderful Counselor. This king, he is a Wonderful Counselor. This Savior, this baby that is going to be born, he's a Wonderful Counselor. Who doesn't need Wonderful Counsel today? Do you realize that do you remember who the very first counselor was to man that they listened to? It was a serpent. It was a snake who gave, is that really what God said? Listen, today, the king, the one who has come, the one that was foretold in Isaiah is a Wonderful Counselor, and all his words are right and true. It says that he is a mighty God. Do you realize when your world is falling apart, you can turn to mighty God, who is the one who spoke it all into existence, under which everything that is happening today, he is sovereignly over. Notice it says the next one is that he is the everlasting Father. It's as a counselor, as a pastor, someone who spends a lot of time with people, I've come to realize, and maybe you've heard me say this before or someone else say this, we so often view our heavenly Father in light of our earthly Father. And whatever our earthly Father was like in that relationship, we tend to translate that or place that on our heavenly Father. I need you to hear me. Your heavenly Father, if you are a follower of Jesus, is perfect. He is perfect. And I don't care what's happened in your home, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. All his ways are right and good. He knows the plans that he has for you. This is who this king is. And it closes with the Prince of Peace. Listen, do you know how the Prince of Peace reigns in our lives? When we begin to realize we have a Wonderful Counselor. We have a mighty God, the great, everlasting, good Father. He reigns in our lives. We've submitted ourselves to him, which allows us then to be able to stand in the midst of the days in which we walk and have peace. Though the world seems like it's falling apart. As the psalmist said, the oceans feel like the mountains feel like they're melting into the heart of the sea. Yet we can stand and go, yeah, though you slay me, God, I'm going to have a heart of peace right here. Yes, everything around me seems in chaos, but because of you, I'm going to have peace. Notice the second thing real quick, not just beholding his reign, his government, but I want us to behold Christ's grace. Do you know the rule of life for Christ is his grace in our life? That's his rule. Notice that. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Romans 5:1 says this, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The first four chapters, Paul's talking about the sad state of affairs that mankind is in and how they got there because of sin and what has happened. And then he makes a turn in 5 and he says that since we've been justified, now I get asked often, what is justified? What is justification? What does that mean? This is a little simple. I'm kind of a simple guy. Justified, I remember it by this. Just as if I'd never sinned. Do you realize that by faith in Jesus Christ, the one, the Son, the King, the one who was foretold, who came at the fullness of time, the Bible tells us, who was born, the Son of God, the Son of Man, who lived a perfect life, who walked this earth. And because of his perfection, it created turmoil and chaos with the religious order, and they put him to death. He lived perfectly. They put him on a cross. He was crucified. You see, he lived a life that I and you could never live, and he died a death that you and I could never die for our sins. It took a perfect person to pay our penalty. You and I aren't even perfect, so we can't even pay for our own sins. They put him in a grave. 3 days later, he arose again. And today, the King is alive on his throne, seated on the throne of David, reigning forevermore. And do you realize you can't do anything to get that other than to receive it? You can't serve in our kids' ministry enough. You can't give all the money that we would ever need for centuries to one day and get it. The only way the Bible tells us that we can receive this justification is by faith. This isn't a faith where you're just going to take a blind leap. This is a faith that, okay, I know who the Bible says Jesus is, and I'm going to believe that, and I'm going to trust it. I'm not just going to believe in God. I'm going to believe God, and I'm going to do what he says. He says that we receive that by grace. It is a gift of God. You're running around all over the Metroplex, the metropolitan area. You're on all kinds of sites trying to get gifts here. Do you realize you can't purchase peace? There's nothing you can do to purchase it. But here's the good news. It's already been purchased for you by the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and ascension. This is the gift of God. And do you realize that you can give me a gift, but if I refuse it and don't take it, it's not mine. I didn't do anything for it, but if I receive it, this is why he's brought you here today. Do you realize that some of you are serving the Prince of Peace, but you're refusing his peace because you're looking around going, I've got to get this, I got to do this, I got to do this. You're trying to put your faith and trust in all these other things that it's going to bring peace. Whether it is finances, it's medical technology, it is, I don't know what it is for you. Maybe it's a counselor. I need you to know, keep seeing counseling, but I need you to hear, the wonderful counselor stands and says, I offer you peace. Come, receive. Come. Do you realize when we receive, when we behold the grace of God and we allow his reign in our lives, and then we are ruled by the grace of God, that begins to change everything around us. It may not make the medical situation, the relational situation, it may not make the financial situation, but it changes how you view it and you realize it's under the lordship of Christ And where I am today, I can stand come what may. Yet though you slay me, I'll stand. The Lord gives, he takes away, but I'm going to stand here in peace. And do you realize that would be in your workplace, in your home, in your school? That may be the most incredible, incredible testimony of all, is that in the midst of that, I've got peace. I've got peace. I'm trusting that the Lord God, the one who died for me, he's got this. He understands it. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says this, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, and I might add daughters. Do you realize that if God can come and bring peace between me and God, if he can bring reconciliation between me and God, if he can bring reconciliation between you and God, he can bring peace to any situation you're standing in right now. Because the greatest gulf was the peace that I needed with God. And he crossed it. He bridged it with the cross. So what do we do now with that? Thank you for asking. Number three, I want us to behold Christ's glory. We're beholding his reign. We're beholding his rule, Christ's government, his grace. I want us to behold his glory. Romans 5:2, through him, Romans chapter 5, verse 2, finishing out verse 1, going into 2, through him, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, after every great war, there's a time of peace. One of the reasons I like to fight with Amy is so that we get to make up. Thank you. Got a little thumbs up. But you know, after the Civil War, we went through a great time of reconstruction. After World War II, the U.S. and Europe went through a time of rebuilding, and it brought prosperity to both continents. People's lives were changed. There was blessing. Do you realize that when you come to Christ and you begin to cease all your striving, you cease keeping your eyes here, do you realize that there is a blessing and a prosperity to your life? There is a peace that begins to reign because of the one who was foretold in Isaiah, who has come to be your Prince of Peace. Do you know what the purpose of peace in your life is? I want to be really clear. Do you know what the purpose of peace is in your life? It's the same thing as everything else in your life, the glory of God. The reason he gives you peace, the reason the Prince of Peace comes to reside in your life, the reason we turn to the Prince of Peace, the reason that we recognize him always at all times is for his glory alone. It's not so that people go, oh, look, how calm they are. Listen, they've kind of got this thing worked out. Hey, what app are you using for your mindfulness? We laugh. But that's true. It is not so that they look at us as being calm people. It is so that they look at us and we're able, as Matthew says, to turn back and give glory to our God who is in heaven. The one who gives us the peace, the true Prince of Peace. You see, I follow Christ. Aren't you facing this medical? Aren't you facing this financial? Doesn't it in your world falling? Yeah, but I'm trusting the Prince of Peace today, right where I am. Right where I am. I was with a family not long ago who they're facing a very, very difficult medical situation. And as I'm sitting talking to this family, I begin to hear just, man, they know where this is headed. And outside of a complete miracle of God, the next step is to heaven. Yet all that I could hear was how God had done this and God had done this and what he had changed here and he had brought me through this and done this with me. And do you see the blessing that I have with this person and that person and this family member, this family member? And I'm sitting there and I'm just going, you could sense the peace of God in the room. Let me ask you this. What does Advent look like at your home? You know what Advent is, don't you? Remember the arrival of Christ. That's what we're, his first Advent. We're looking forward to his second Advent when he returns. But right now we're celebrating his first arrival. Is there a sense of peace? Or are you the, oh man, I've got to get to this work event. I got to get to this party. I've got to do this. On top of that, this marriage, that medical, this thing, that thing. And you just feel like your motor's just, I mean, it is like you're pegging in the red line. It is tough. You realize the Prince of Peace has come. What do I do about that? Well, I mean, this is why we have Advent. This is why we stop. This is why we settle. You just kind of simmer down. Sit. We open the Word. Those little Advent booklets, we don't make those just because it's cool to make, but there's passages of Scripture. There's prayers. There's singing. Listen, a candle does not bring peace. But I can sit here with the lights down and think on the goodness of the Lord. Let me just slow. You know when you have peace, the Prince of Peace? You know what ends up happening? It should overflow in our lives with joy. I venture to say that some of you struggle with joy because you don't have peace in your life. You see, when you have peace in your life, I'm going to be real honest with you, your face should show that. Some of us struggle with that resting face. You know what I'm talking about? Do you realize we're people of joy? We're people of peace. Our issue in life and in death has been satisfied by Jesus. It's been satisfied. Let me ask you this. Do your neighbors see you and are you kicking dirt with a downcast face? Or do they see you like, that's a happy person? Listen, what's that old thing? You catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar? Listen, some of you need to put that stuff away and start eating some sugar. Your friends, you know why it's a struggle to share Christ with your friends? Because they don't see any joy and peace in your life. And they don't want what you have. See, what they're seeing looks better than what you're showing. And the king, listen, if the Prince of Peace has come, that means there must be a King of Peace somewhere. And does he rule and reign in your life? Has he brought joy to you? In verse 2 of Romans 5, he says, rejoice again. There ought to be a lot of joy in our life because of the peace we've obtained because of Jesus. It ought to be something that in our neighborhoods, when our neighbors see us, that they go, there's something different about those folks. In fact, their life group got together and they were in the backyard singing together over things. That's a real thing. I went to a small group party now the other day and we sang in the backyard. People start looking out the windows. They ought to see that in us. When they see us, they ought to go, there is something different. You know, when people come to this place, you know what they ought to see in this place? They ought to see people who've experienced peace, who've experienced joy, who sing, who smile at one another. I don't mean fake smile, like that preacher out in Texas just smiles all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're happy. We're joyful, come what may. We sing songs of joy. We want to know how brothers and sisters, you realize if you're in Christ, we are brothers and sisters. This is a family when we get together. We ought to be, there's crazy uncles and aunts, there's like loons, there's like the one I want to see, but we're all family. And we want to be happy to see each other. We want to pray with one another. We want to walk through. We want to hug one another. I'm a hugger. Some of you don't like the hug. I'm fine. I'll shake hands. We'll fist bump. We'll smile at each other. But we are family with one another. And that's joyful. Men, it's all right to look at another man and go, man, I love you. I love you. I'm for you. Doesn't mean you're gay. Doesn't mean you're homosexual. It means that I love you and I am for you. Ladies, laugh. Be excited. Why? Because our greatest need has been met in the Prince of Peace. He reigns today. Does he reign in you today? Father, I love you. I thank you. I honor you. I magnify you. And Lord, I'm asking that there would be a peace that would reign in our lives. I'm asking, Father, that today, if there are any in here who are not reconciled to you, that you would take blind eyes and make them see. That you would take a spiritually dead heart and you would speak life to it so that there would be a reconciliation between that person and you because of Jesus Christ. May today we expect life change. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. Today, I'm going